The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We're not talking about pulling every single American troop out of Europe. We're talking about shifting some resources around in a way that maximizes American security. I don't think that's bad for Europe. That's encouraging Europe to take more ownership. The United States cannot be the policeman of the world. We want to be good allies. We want to make sure that our troop presence promotes regional stability in Europe. The president has not said, though he could, the president has not said that he's taken all of the troops out of Europe, but Europe has to stand on its own two feet. And that's something that he's been consistent of, frankly, not even since the beginning of this administration, going back to the first administration, is we have got to have more sovereignty and more of Europe standing on its own two feet. That will continue to be our policy in Europe. And here's one thing I'll say about this. Look, I have for my entire life, I'm 41 years old, for my entire life, I have heard chirping from the European media about everything that's wrong with the United States of America. We don't have this, we don't have that. We don't spend enough on healthcare, even though part of the reason why we spend so much on defense was because we have tens of thousands of troops in Europe. I think that if the European media wants to attack the President of the United States, they need to start looking in the mirror. All he has said is that we're going to be good allies, we're going to be good friends, we're going to be trading partners, but it is reasonable for Europe to take a little bit more ownership over its continental integrity.
This is the best thing that has ever happened to Germany, at least in the last century. It looks like a feud. It looks like they're bickering back and forth. The United States upset with Germany, Germany upset with the United States. But Germany is getting what it has always wanted, license to rebuild its military, to become a global superpower. I feel like we talk about this. You could lead with this story every day on the show. And I mentioned how Mr. Armstrong, how he would be shouting and screaming about these developments in the world right now. J.D. Vance, the Vice President of the United States, saying the United States cannot be the policeman of the world, that Europe needs to stand on its own two feet. And he makes a point there about how much the United States has spent on Europe, but I don't think it's as clear a trade-off as he makes it seem. And we'll talk about that in a bit. There's a little bit of truth there, but it's mostly wrong. It's naive. It's historically naive. And as we say on this show, it's naive and ignorant of Bible prophecy. And then meanwhile, you've got all the U.S. political news. I mean, at this point, it feels so nauseating, the divide over Massey in Kentucky. I think he lost his primary. So he's going to be out of Congress, one of Trump's most vocal critics. That was the big news yesterday, and it's just the United States bickering about such, well, seemingly inconsequential. I don't want to say they're totally inconsequential, but we're just bickering about the color of the reflecting pond and the what color it's being painted, and whether or not President Trump needs a ballroom is the big hot topic in the United States. And you can't get coverage, aside from, I mean, what J.D. Vance is saying there, which should be the biggest story. That should be what analysts are writing a lot about. But it's the ballroom. It's the American flag blue paint on the reflecting pool and the lawsuits filed by the whatever historical society it is against President Trump. Meanwhile, the Holy Roman Empire, the King of the North, is rising at the encouragement of the United States. This clip from Mr. Armstrong, this was back in 1977, and he makes the point about these so-called allies, these nations like Japan and Germany that we think we really get along with and we love them now, ignore World War II. We've changed them somehow. They would never turn against us. But like Mr. Armstrong brings out here, well, they're happy to be our allies as long as we're doing everything for them. And what happens when that stops? And there are things that President Trump has pointed out correctly when he talks about how they're manipulating trade and just how much the United States subsidizes the rest of the world. When it comes to things like healthcare, the United States pays for all of the drug testing and all of the development and research and development. And then the rest of the world gets to benefit from that. So it makes things more expensive in the United States. And he basically says, well, Europe is prosperous. Europe needs to do its own part. But again, is that trade-off really worth it? Especially when it comes to the military, when it comes to the United States basically occupying the countries that we defeated in World War II. Is it really worth the risk? This is from a sermon given in 1977 by Mr. Armstrong. This is clip 13.
But Israel as a whore went out paying her lovers. And we are Israel today, and we're doing the same thing, and our lovers today are our allies, and they're bleeding us to death. We're paying them, paying them, paying them. And they're taking all they can get from us. So some of the scriptures, and I believe it's in Hosea or Amos, say that they just sat and drained us of our material wealth that God has blessed us with, and we don't even know it. We don't realize what they've done and how they've done it.
It's a curse. We'll go through Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. It's a curse. And President Trump has drawn attention to that. He's drawn attention to, I mean, he's been saying it for 40 years about going back to Japan and how they manipulate their economy to take advantage of the United States. And I should have brought the clips. And he says, I don't blame them for doing it. Why do we allow it? And then you could take those clips and it's basically China does the same thing. You could point at Germany. You could point at, again, these so-called allies who are happy to keep taking. But does President Trump have the solution? Is the solution now to just turn against all of them, to withdraw from the world stage and say, we're not the world's policemen. You guys handle it. It's really not that expensive for what we get out of it, for what the United States gets out of pretty much running the military scene in Europe and being able to bring that stability. Again, that's not the long-term solution. As we say on the show, the solution is, well, you can't get wound up in doing things man's way and getting all political about it. You've got to be turning to God. But like Mr. Fleury said in the Trumpet magazine, I think it was two issues ago, about how Iran will trigger World War III. Well, our nations have chosen not to obey God. And if you're going to fight in this world, you've got to go all the way. And the United States won't do it. They won't do it in Iran. They're not going to do it in Europe. They want to be out of Europe. And then naively just looking at Europe as though we'll always just have the same interests. Mr. Armstrong says this is an ancient relationship. And they will take advantage of you when you let them. And then when it stops, you're going to be conquered and taken captive. And all of that is because of the sins being committed by, well, you go back to ancient Israel and ancient Judah, and then the descendants of those nations request the United States and Britain in prophecy if you don't have a copy. Lord Ismay, we read this quote often again, first Secretary General of NATO. Now, does this sound like an alliance where, well, we're allies and we're best friends? The purpose of the NATO alliance is to keep the Russians out, the Americans in, and the Germans down. Germany doesn't like that. Again, it can seem like we're friendly together, that we've been allies. But the point of that alliance was, well, Germany shouldn't have a military. Germany should not be allowed to be a superpower. And now we're just very casual about, well, they need to do that themselves. Again, even just looking at America's position globally, being in Europe, we've seen it with the war in Iran. The United States really needs access to those air bases that we have over there. Needs to be able to have those troops in reserve over there to be able to send right into the Middle East. Talk about bringing instability to this world. The United States not being the policeman is going to bring instability. And we talk often about, well, there was that transition from the British Empire that brought stability, and then after World War II, it just peacefully transitioned into the United States. But Bible prophecy says we're in the times of the Gentiles. These Gentile powers are rising up. And America and Britain are helping build them. Europe doesn't behave like an ally. You can look, like I said, just back to the economic policies, the way they're happy to take advantage of the United States and then get very hostile when they're called out for doing it. And there's both sides to it. There's both sides of the argument there. But you see this seething pot in the King of the North. Mr. Palmer in the latest Trumpet magazine has an article titled, "Without NATO, Europe Will Erupt." Basically, the United States on the way out. That military framework is crumbling. Mr. Fleury in that September 2018 Trumpet magazine, "Germany and Russia's secret war against America, but Bible prophecies about the next resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire show that Germany will soon be spending substantially more on its military and not within any kind of U.S.-led framework." And you see it. That was, well, I guess, boy, that's 8 years ago now. There's quotes that go even further back than that. Here's another clip from Mr. Armstrong on the World Tomorrow program talking about how we have to be careful about these so-called allies. This is clip 10.
"This is the thus saith the Eternal. All your allies have forgotten you. They care nothing for you, for I have dealt you the blow of an enemy." Our allies. All right. Your lovers, your allies, Germany and Japan, don't care anything for you, and they're going to forget us too. And God says, "I have dealt you the blow of an enemy. The punishment, which is going to happen, the punishment of a merciless foe, because your guilt is great, because your sins are so flagrant." We don't believe that.
It all gets back to sin, just like that clip we played for Mr. Armstrong on the show yesterday. That three-letter word, S-I-N. Why is this happening? Why does God allow it to happen? Why does this King of the North rise? As we say on this show constantly, that is a warning. The alarm bell should be ringing. We're doing something wrong. Here's a clip from Mr. Gerald Fleury on the Key of David. You see this just consistent thread line of Bible prophecy from Mr. Armstrong flowing right into Mr. Gerald Fleury. And God continues to give new revelation about things. But this warning about the King of the North, I mean, it's been almost a century of warning about this. This is from a Key of David back in 2017, clip 11.
"In the late 70s, Germany was considered one of America's very best friends, if not the best. And yet today, if you ask the German people, 85% of them will tell you that they have a negative view of America. Now, the Bible does talk about them being our lovers, and we have literature that will explain that to you. And they became our lovers, let's say, after World War II, when we really had a lot to do with defeating them. And then we spent billions and billions of dollars to rebuild Germany and bring them back into the, let's say, the civilized world."
What's so fascinating about those J.D. Vance clips is just, I mean, he's so confident and yet just feels so ignorant at the same time. He was the one that went over to the, I believe it was the Munich Security Conference 2 years ago or right after that administration was inaugurated in it would have been January of 2025. I think the Munich Security Conference, it's usually around February, if I remember correctly. And he went over there and said, "Europe is anti-free speech. Europe is implementing all these anti-Western values. Europe's doing all of these things that are contrary to the way the United States wants things to be done. And on the other hand, go ahead and become a military superpower." Well, we don't want Russia or China doing that. Again, you just see how naive the United States is. You see, and J.D. Vance is, he's young. He said there he's 41. President Trump, he's made the comments. He said it to Friedrich Merz. We want you to rearm, but just be careful. Don't do too much because of that whole World War II thing. I mean, it's more condemning for President Trump because he knows the history. He is closer to it. And J.D. Vance just, I mean, it's this 21st century thinking. Well, it's we don't stereotype countries like that. You know, the past is the past. We don't need to think about that anymore. If as long as we just have money and we're prosperous, and that's another thing that they're ignorant of. Nicholas Frank said, when there's economic instability in Europe, in Germany, when they're not sure about things, well, you see the other side of the German mind. That history bears out. We spent all that time and money rebuilding Germany, and then America at this moment is just so steeped in sin, it doesn't notice this King of the North rising. It's not watching. It's like Mr. Fleury says in the New Throne booklet in Jeremiah 1, or about Jeremiah 1, where he's talking to Jeremiah, well, what do you see? And Mr. Fleury says, what do you see? Do you see it? That seething pot coming out of the North, that King of the North rising. Think about all these prophecies, as we say on this show, that are coming to pass. We've followed the trends for decades, and it feels like the last 2 years or since President Trump's been inaugurated, it's like they're all just on this accelerated pace. NATO failing. You've got the Ezekiel 23 prophecy about our lovers betraying us. Mr. Fleury, there's the Psalm 83 alliance, of course, Daniel 11, and then Mr. Fleury's talked for, I think it was back in the mid-20-teens when he talked about that Key of David on Turkey betraying America. And Turkey's part of the Psalm 83 alliance. They work with Germany. And Psalm 83 says that their goal is to blot out the nations of Israel. October 2025 in the Trumpet magazine. Again, this article titled, Turkey is going to betray America. Is Turkey a good ally for America? Bible prophecy says Turkey is going to betray America. And it goes through some of the recent history of America's relationship with this nation that is a part of NATO that we store nuclear weapons in. This is an article from the Financial Times. Turkey unveils new missile touted as able to hit U.S. mainland. That's a really odd way to set up that headline. If they're a member of NATO, we have nuclear weapons stored there. Some of our biggest foreign bases are in Turkey. Turkey unveils new missile touted as able to hit U.S. mainland. That's the selling point, really? That it can. They developed a missile that not Russia, not China, not Iran. The United States is what they're bragging about, is that it has this sort of range. Turkey's grand unveiling of an intercontinental ballistic missile has backfired after an AI-generated promotional video showed the weapon seeming to strike its U.S. ally. Talk about breaking up NATO. And every nation is doing its part right now to dismantle NATO, each with their own interests. But you've got this member nation of NATO producing, hey, we're building ICBMs, check out our new video, and it shows them actually hitting targets off the east coast of the United States. Turkey is going to betray America. You see that spirit there, and it was prophesied. Financial Times, the Yildirim missile was presented at a defense expo in Istanbul this week as capable of traveling 6,000 kilometers, which I don't even think that's actually capable of hitting the United States, and yet they're bragging that it can. I think 6,000 kilometers. I only work in metric, not metric, only work in the imperial system. I think that would be, what, 4,500 miles-ish? Carrying a 3,000-kilogram warhead at up to 25 times the speed of sound, placing Turkey among a small group of countries able to develop such weapons. But questions quickly arose about the real capabilities of the system, sparked by the AI video showing the Yildirman hitting nuclear facilities and other targets that appeared to be in the United States. Now, there's a lot of questions still about if Turkey's actually going to be able to do this. They've created the model. They obviously published the video, but the video speaks for itself. Why was that presented? You've got Germany now. They're talking about trying to develop their own missile system because the United States is not going to be there to help them. They said, I think it was a headline about Germany, well, giving Turkey some of its Patriot missile systems to help defend against Iran. And then there's talk about Germany wanting to buy these new ICBMs from Turkey. So you see this relationship between Germany and Turkey. Two nations that hate the United States, are supposed allies with the United States, lovers with the United States. So you've got Ezekiel 23 and the lover's prophecy there. Now you've got Germany and Turkey working together. You've got the Psalm 83 alliance. And read Psalm 83, and it says their goal is to blot out, to cut off Israel. This is from Deutsche Welle. Germany is considering Turkish missiles as an alternative to Tomahawks. The Tomahawks are the U.S. missiles. The German government, along with other European and NATO countries, is considering purchasing missiles from Turkey following U.S. President Donald Trump's announcement that he no longer intends to deploy Tomahawk long-range cruise missiles in Germany. Die Welt reported this, citing government sources. According to leaks, a plan is also being considered to create a joint venture between German and U.S. companies to produce Tomahawk missiles in Germany starting as early as 2028. And that could very well happen. Mr. Fleury has talked about Germany using our own weapons against us, and we train their pilots. We train them to fly our planes. They're buying our planes that are capable of carrying our nuclear missiles. The model would be the existing collaboration between one German division and a U.S. defense contractor. At the same time, Berlin is also considering the acquisition of the Turkish ballistic missile and another hypersonic missile. According to Die Welt, the ICBM still under development could be delivered no earlier than 2028, followed shortly thereafter by the hypersonic missile. So the world's rearming, Germany and Turkey working together, Turkey betraying the United States. You just see so many things falling into place. And another aspect of this story that is just interesting is Turkey's a member of NATO, but Turkey's not a member of the European Union. I think Cyprus and Greece, they're members of the EU. They don't like Turkey. So there's all this feuding going on within EU member nations. You can see where that's crumbling and falling apart. We've covered the stories about the EU trying to create this bloc of six nations, the powerhouses in Europe that can come together and form a stronger, more efficient military alliance. Again, it's incredible watching all of this happen, and God is allowing it, watching all of these alliances take shape. It should be a warning. God allows all of this to punish our nations, to punish America, Britain, Judah. Isaiah 10, verses 5 through 6. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. God is upset with our nations. And all throughout the Old Testament, God uses the physical powers to punish his people. I will send him against an hypocritical nation and against the people of my wrath. Will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets? Frightening verses. But this is Bible prophecy. It's in the pages of your Bible. And you probably won't hear about it at the Rededicate 250 event if you watch all 9 or 10 hours of that. Psalm 83, verses 3 through 4. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. These are not allies. You can request the King of the South booklet if you don't have a copy of that. Request that for free. Download it right this second at thetrumpet.com. Just hit the library tab and navigate down and download the PDF of that book if you don't have it. These nations, they don't like the United States. And God allows these enemies to rise up. I wanted to play this clip again from President Trump reading 2 Chronicles 7. And I'll just play the part of him reading the last few verses. Like Mr. Fleury said, it's fascinating to hear them read these verses in their own words. And here at the end of 2 Chronicles 7, it's about basically, well, here's what God is going to allow to happen, or what God is going to do if you disobey God. And I'll tie it into Deuteronomy 28 here in just a minute, but here's President Trump reading 2 Chronicles 7, verses 19 through 22. This is clip 15.
But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up from the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to every one that passes by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them and served them. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them.
What a fascinating passage to read. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them. God allows this to happen. And a lot of people say, well, why would God be so mean? Why would God allow that to happen? Why does he allow suffering? And so quick to point the finger at God and to say that he's wrong, instead of, well, let's just say he's the creator of the universe. He probably knows a lot better than we do. Instead, they point the finger at God and decide by their own heart, which is deceitful above all things, that God must be wrong or God doesn't exist, instead of looking at, well, what are we doing? What am I doing? God is trying to get our attention, and our sins cause these things to happen. Like Mr. Armstrong said, there's cause and effect. And God said this is what would happen. Read Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28. There are blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And it's a pretty simple way. It's pretty simple. You go this way or you go that way. There's good and evil. There's right and wrong. And we need to know what's right. And we need to turn from what is wrong. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 7. Here's the blessing. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. A blessing. Your enemies will fall before you. In many cases, like with ancient Israel, you don't even have to fight. God just takes care of the problem. That's a pretty good sign, a pretty good blessing. Is that what is happening today? Mr. Armstrong said America's won its last war. We can't defeat the Taliban. We can't defeat the little terrorist groups in the Middle East. We're humiliated by Iran. It should be pretty easy to defeat. And then Deuteronomy 28 and verse 25, here's the curse. The Lord shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, what trend line are we on? What direction are we moving towards? Is it moving towards the blessing or the curse? And there can be a resurgence. There can be a lot of people that just put their trust in Donald Trump. But you've got to be able to see past how temporary that is. You've got to be able to see past how materialistic that is. It's not the stock market is not going to save you. What direction are we moving in? Look at how these nations are behaving. Here's another clip from Mr. Flurry on the Key of David. This was back in 2011. This is clip 12.
But Germany has double-crossed Britain just in what they did by pushing them out of the European Union, even though America and Britain helped to build them back into a power after they defeated them in World War II. They helped to them to reach where they are today. And Germany has a history of double-crossing people, and they're going to double-cross America as well. And I tell you that all of the suffering that's going to come from all of this is, Ezekiel says, going to get all the world to know God. All of them are going to really get to know God. We just have this great love affair with Germany, and that's specifically what it's talking about, as well as the whole configuration of the Holy Roman Empire. But here are three nations that have just been thinking, well, we have this great love affair, this great friendship with Germany, but not so fast. Is that really true? Well, if you see what just happened to Britain, you know it is not true.
It's good to point out, too, the verses that he mentioned there. When people are critical of God and say, well, God is mean or evil, or the God of the Old Testament is just wrong or too mean. I mean, all of those prophecies that are terrifying and should make us question what we're doing, they're often associated with scriptures that are full of hope and talk about the outcome of what God is trying to achieve. And people don't quote the nice verses. They don't quote the good things that God is trying to work out here. Mr. Flurry says, all of the suffering that's coming from all of this, as Ezekiel says, going to get all the world to know God. All of them are going to really get to know God. That is the essence of it all. Like we went through with those Proverbs, it's a father trying to get people to turn to him. Like Malachi 4 verses 4 through 6 talks about. God trying to get our attention. And these prophecies, that's why Mr. Armstrong would scream on the World Tomorrow program. Blast that trumpet of alarm, that warning. And it always concluded with, this is going to lead to the return of Christ. One more clip from Mr. Flurry. This is from a program 4 or 5 years ago titled, Germany is Going Underground, clip 14.
Did you know that the Bible talks about people, our lovers, forsaking us, turning against us, and choosing China over America, that type thing? Read Jeremiah 4 and verse 30 and Ezekiel chapter 23, and you'll see about those lovers of Israel. It happens to be America and Britain primarily. But Herbert Armstrong prophesied about this for over 50 years, telling us what was happening. T.H. Teaton's wrote in 1953 about Germany plots with the Kremlin, where he said that only after Germany has established a great third bloc, power bloc. And he goes on to talk about that. But here's a man in our time, and notice what it says about him. For long, Carl Theodor zu Guttenberg has demanded that Europe will set up a third independent power bloc. Though he didn't use the exact same language, Europe seems to be implementing this policy now, right before they will what? Will they betray us? Well, that is suggested here in this news article.
Betrayal. They're choosing China and Russia over the United States. They're forming a mart of nations to economically besiege the United States. President Trump pointed out during his first term, well, why Germany, why are you building a pipeline with Russia? You say they're your enemy, and here you're building another pipeline with Russia to make you even more dependent on them for oil and natural gas. And President Trump is over there saying, well, we've got plenty if you want it. Why would Germany turn there? And like Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Fleury were saying, well, Germany has a history of double-crossing. Even when you go back to the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, they double-crossed right away. They'll take what they can get as long as it's convenient for that moment. You've got German trade alliances with China. You've got them working on these missile programs with Turkey. Like I said, all these prophetic trends that we've been watching for decades, Mart of Nations, Isaiah 23, the Lover's Prophecy, Ezekiel 23, Psalm 83 Alliance, Daniel 11, where the United States is not mentioned. You've got the kings of the East, Vladimir Putin. Mr. Hilliker wrote about it in the Trumpet Brief this morning. He's over in China right after President Trump leaves, talking about how their relationship is stronger than ever. And that's another, Mr. Armstrong, Mr. Fleury have been saying that. Russia and China, these kings of the East, working together. Putin says ties to Xi's China reach unprecedentedly high level. The United States is just being mocked. It's becoming a byword, just being laughed at, like those words that President Trump read out of 2 Chronicles 7. A couple other headlines, Deutsche Welle News, U.S. to reduce troops in Europe to 2021 levels. Pentagon says, I'm not sure if that's tied in with the reduction they've already announced of the 5,000. I don't know if that means that there are more coming. Telegraph says NATO considers mission to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. I think it was France and Britain already concocted this scheme to basically go in and try to do this if the United States couldn't. So you've got, like I said, all this scheming, these alliances trying to take shape, basically preparing for a world without the United States. I should have brought some quotes from that Trumpet magazine. I think it was back in 2014. If you guys can find that Trumpet cover, it's the one where it's basically the United States tombstone, and they're at the graveside, and it's a world without America. And that was Barack Obama, I guess you could say nicely, deceptively, pulling the United States away from things, just failing to fulfill obligations, sending the blankets to Ukraine, really not doing anything because, well, his goal was he wants to attack the United States. So withdraw from the world. Stop being the world's policeman. And like we've noted on this program, it's amazing that President Trump can have a different approach and a different mindset about it, and the same outcome is achieved, that the United States is not the global policeman. We don't want to have anything to do with it. You know, we'll bomb Iran for a little bit. We'll try this over in the Middle East. But really, the trend is we want to be done. It can be Germany's job now. What does that world look like? And that issue is great. It goes through a lot of, I mean, you could apply a lot of those quotes to today because, well, when the United States isn't absent, well, what fills the, or when the United States is absent, what fills the void? I have a few other stories that I wanted to get to on today's show. I was going to play the 25-year reunion video that we played at the grad reunion, but I went over time. So maybe we could, well, I think it'll work out to just save that for later this week for Mr. Fleury, just with some of the traveling that's coming up. There's probably going to be a shorter program where we can play that show for you or play that 20-minute video for you. I thought I would follow up on the mosque shooting in San Diego. Like I said, I didn't even understand what I was trying to describe with that story. And would you believe it? It gets even more confusing. This is just like the United States in a nutshell, the chaos and the confusion here. Nobody knows where anybody stands. So the individual that was shot was a security guard. They're at a mosque, and this security guard, pretty much, they went through his social media feed, and he just adores Adolf Hitler because this is Islam that we allow into the United States. And then these two shooters, they're teenagers, 17, 19 years old. One of them's a transgender. They also adore Hitler, and they're trying to trigger a race war. Again, one of them was a male pretending to be a female. They adored Adolf Hitler. They had SS stickers on their weapons, and then they killed themselves. And just like I said on the show at some point earlier this week, I mean, there's the lack of education, the tragedy in the American family, to see this is what young people have, you know, fallen into, have gotten into. And there's so much division, there's racial hatred, as Mr. Armstrong said was coming. There's the rise of the far right. There's this hatred for the Jews, which is the canary in the coal mine about upcoming tragedy. I've got a segment here that I think you will enjoy. It's a bit lighter to transition to. I don't know how to make the transition from that story into the next one, so we'll just make it more abrupt. It's about the laws of Radiant Health. This is an article from The Guardian, and it says at least 80% responsibility for ill health in old age down to individual, study says. I don't know why they had to have a study for this, but I think it is very common for, well, everybody. I mean, it's just what it's the 21st century mindset is, well, it's always someone else's fault. And of course, there are problems in this society. Satan is doing everything he can to hurt the family, to hurt it emotionally and spiritually and physically. And when it comes to health, attacking male leadership, attacking females, attacking the roles in the household. And society is basically just geared to, well, it's going to be a challenge to live the right way. But like this study brings out, you could spend all day trying to blame someone else for your problems, but ultimately it comes down to, well, what are the choices that you are making? The Guardian says individuals bear at least 80% of the responsibility for their ill health in old age, according to a report aimed at challenging the belief that physical decline is either inevitable or primarily the responsibility of the state. So how are you living? How do you live? Of course, as Mr. Armstrong said, heredity and environment are the two key factors, and there's going to be genetic things that come up. But a lot of it, when Mr. Armstrong got into the seven laws of radiant health, they're really basic. They're really obvious. And it's frustrating how man just spins his wheels trying to solve all these problems. It's this thing, it's this trend, it's this trend. And then Mr. Armstrong is like, get fresh air and sunshine. Breathe clean air. Exercise. Eat whole foods. Eat them, you know, before they eat things that are going to expire quickly, and eat them before they do. Just pretty much be as normal as possible as you can. Do your very best, and then don't stress out about it. The seventh law, a positive mental attitude. Like I said, of course, Satan is going to make that as challenging as possible. It's hard to find whole foods. It's expensive. But doing your best and then really relying on God to make up the difference. And it's fascinating looking at how this Ozempic culture has taken over the United States. And I was watching a video just trying to understand it a bit more. Well, what is this drug actually doing? And basically the thrust of the video was, well, because of evolution, you know, we have this craving for sweet things, however that factored in. And then now that we're so prosperous and we have food everywhere, well, we're just overdoing it. And basically we have to figure out some way to inhibit that desire for sweet things that evolution put in us. I don't know. Basically, the thrust of the video was taking the blame off of the individual and putting it on, well, it's just this biological need that you're going to have. There's nothing you can do about it. So take Ozempic because, well, that's better than being obese. And Ozempic, basically, it just triggers these receptors that basically give you this feeling of, well, I'm full, I'm satisfied. And that's a trigger that hormone is released, the GLP-1 or whatever it's called, goes to the receptors and says, okay, I don't need any more food. And who knows what the long-term side effects of that will be if those receptors are constantly being triggered by that hormone, that, you know, they should really only be triggered for a few minutes, and now they're being stimulated for weeks at a time. Who knows? I mean, this is man's world, and man can just be so haughty and arrogant, thinking he has the solutions. But then there are these side effects where it's like this zombie drug, because it kills this ability to feel like you've been, you're full or you're satisfied. It leads to all of these other things where you're not getting the emotional reward that you normally would for achieving something. So you can see it on people's faces, pretty much. They're pretty gaunt and dull looking. Again, in those extreme cases. But like I said, Mr. Armstrong has these seven laws of health, and they're really simple. I've got a couple clips from Mr. Armstrong here. You can play these two together. This is clips 6 and 7.
Should be in the very bloom of health. We should be, as they say, right on top of the ball all the time, just vigorous and energetic and enjoying life to the full. That's what God intended. We could, but we just don't seem to know the way. And we're too stubborn and too rebellious to follow the way when God shows us. We would do it, but we do need to observe the laws of health. We do need to repent of the transgressions physically. And my friends, I want to tell you that nearly every one of you are violating nearly every one of the laws of health every day, all the time. We don't take care of our bodies like we should. We need to look into that a little more, and we need to study, and we need more doctors to tell us where we are in default, where we are at fault, and where we're really sinning as it is now, and what we ought to do.
There is physical sin. Like Mr. Armstrong always said, there's cause and effect. Something is causing you to be sick. God didn't design the body to be sick. God wants you to be physically healthy, to prosper, like it says there in 3 John 2. God wants you to live the abundant life spiritually above all, but also physically. And Mr. Armstrong set a tremendous example, and he had his setbacks like he wrote about in the autobiography, but at the same time, he's in his 94th year, and he's giving sermons, and of course, it's a miracle. It's God's Holy Spirit, but he also worked really hard to do his part to uphold law, physical law. Again, that's not something that people will acknowledge. It's always someone else's fault. It's like the Guardian says there, at least 80% of responsibility for ill health and old age down to the individual. And of course, it's the Guardian, and in Britain, their takeaway from the result of that study was, well, we need to regulate alcohol consumption. It wouldn't be Britain if they didn't find some way to regulate it, I guess. But after, it was funny to me that they could talk about, well, the responsibility is on the individual. And then, of course, they come up with, well, the state has its role to play. And there are things about, you know, the EU and just the way they regulate farming, where it is easier to access healthier food. And, well, going back to the first part of the show, you know, when it comes to Monsanto, well, a lot of the things that Monsanto does, which is now owned by, I think it's owned by Bayer, which is a German company, they don't allow in the EU. They don't allow those chemicals and pesticides to be sprayed on food in the European Union. But when it comes to the United States, spray away. Anyway, Mr. Armstrong, a couple more clips from him, just about physical health, about doing our very best. And I did want to mention this in the context of education, because, well, at God's College, we get courses on nutrition. We get courses pretty much on the seven laws of radiant health. And Mr. Armstrong, he touched everything about how to live. We talk about it in Principles of Living class. The man who wrote Mystery of the Ages also wrote The Missing Dimension in Sex and Laws About Radiant Health. Just this all-encompassing, here's the way to live that God restored through that man. My wife and I will watch health videos and just to, you know, understand things a little bit more. And we always look at each other when the doctor or the specialist will make a point that is what Mr. Armstrong was saying in the 40s or 50s. Here's another clip from Mr. Armstrong in 1979, clip 8.
And God made our bodies so that they would never be sick if we would observe the laws, the physical laws of health.
the laws that regulate and manipulate those bodies. Now, you have an automobile. You buy that and you manipulate that yourself. Well, there are certain laws now that regulate it. You have to have a certain kind of gasoline. If you get an inferior gasoline, you're probably going to have trouble. You put the wrong kind of oil in to lubricate that car, and you're going to have trouble. And if you would mix some very adulterated oil with sand and grit in it, your car wouldn't go very far. And if you fail to put water in it, or you put something that would boil in the wrong thing instead of something that will keep your engine cool, it would burn itself out and you'd have trouble. Now, that's exactly what you and all of our people almost are doing with your human bodies. You don't take the care of your human body that you do of your automobile. You poke any old kind of fuel in your fuel tank that is down in your stomach. And that's the gas tank or the fuel tank of the human body. And you poke anything in there.
It's a great point. We acknowledge physical law when it comes to science, when it comes to machines, and then think, well, that doesn't apply to us. Cause and effect, as Mr. Fleury and Mr. Armstrong talk about so often. Well, I told you this show would have a couple surprises in it. Tom Brady, he gave a commencement address at Georgetown, and I thought this tied in well with the health point. Now, obviously, he's a millionaire. He has money to eat the right way and to have a personal trainer, but he is a very impressive example of someone who really acknowledges those physical laws. I think he didn't retire from being in the NFL since I think he was maybe 44 or 45. It's really incredible, his career, but he really worked hard to follow those health laws to the extent that he understood them. A couple of clips from his commencement address. We can conclude. You could come back to me after these clips. This is clip 3 from Tom Brady.
One thing I've learned through sports is the only time you're sure to lose is when you quit. In life and work, you guys are going to get knocked down a lot. How are you going to navigate those moments? Are you going to push through the self-doubt? Are you going to face the fear? Will you work relentlessly to the very end, even when the outcome is virtually certain? I hope you do, because this is the prep work for the bigger opportunities to come. The whole point of doing hard things is to build resilience and the skills to overcome adversity.
Build resilience, challenge yourself, do difficult things. That's how you grow. And he did that on a physical level, always challenging himself, always pushing himself to get better at his craft. And we need to be that way spiritually. We need to be applying that pressure on ourselves. Another clip. This is clip 4.
And my challenge to you is to always keep fighting. Because the truth is, the way you overcome a 99.7% chance of losing in the biggest moments of your life is to harness the confidence you built and the lessons you've learned from a lifetime of failing at things that you've cared about. Everything you've been through up to this point in your life has been trial and error. It's been preparation for your next big challenge.
Preparation for the next big challenge. You've got to repent. We all have to repent and turn away, but don't be limited by the past failures. You know, work forward through those things. Grow. One more clip from this commencement address, clip 5.
Sometimes in life, you have to put the numbers aside and ignore the odds. You have to make the tough choice. You have to try your best and to fight your hardest to win. I wish you nothing but the best of luck and the most courageous of choices on your journey. And I challenge you as graduates of this amazing institution to seek out more things that are just too hard. Things that will force you to grow beyond what you thought was possible for yourself, physically, mentally, or emotionally. I want you to challenge yourself with ideas that are uncomfortable and people who push you to be your very best. The tests are over in school. Thank God. But the tests in life, they never end. You will be tested every day. And those tests are the prep for the life that you want to live.
agree with all of that, except about Georgetown being an amazing institution. But you could apply all of that, again, to God's college. Get out of your comfort zone. The real test begins. It's real life. And you're preparing for all of that. The tests never end. Don't be discouraged by that. Be encouraged by it to grow and that pursuit of perfection. Thank you very much for joining us on today's episode of the Trumpet Daily. If you have any comments or feedback for the show, you can send those to td@thetrumpet.com. Of course, subscribe to the YouTube or Rumble channel if you haven't, and we look forward to seeing you again tomorrow.